Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin. People usually see singing as a performance skill through musicians, choirs, concerts, or in my case, karaoke nights. It's often associated with fun, joy, and self-expression. But our guest today flips that idea entirely on its head, showing us that singing isn't just performance, but rather it's also a tool for confident communication. Our guest is Jillian Mitchell, recording artist, vocal coach, soon-to-be author, mom, and all-around voice advocate. Singing and coaching professionally for almost 20 years, Jill has performed alongside music legends like Trooper and Rick Emmett of Triumph. A graduate of Brandon University's prestigious School of Music, she's a firm believer in the power of education and has continued her studies with several celebrity vocal coaches. Jill is also the founder of Voxana, a vocal method, now expanded into an online platform, and she's currently working on her first book, The Singer Survival Guide, with a second book, and apparently I'm hearing a third book, already in the works. Jill is also a regular contributor to the Toastmaster magazine and works as a speaker coach for TEDx Royal Roads University. Her article, Sing It Loud, Speak It Clear, Why Singing is a Secret Weapon for Confident Communication, appears in the October 2025 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Joining us today from British Columbia, Canada, where she lives with her husband, Sean, who is also her partner in the pop rock duo Echo Drop, and their two amazing children. Jill Mitchell, welcome back to the Toastmasters podcast.
Well, thank you, Greg. It's always a pleasure. This is our second go-round. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. Last time we spoke was March of 2023. You were a new mom.
I know. I think I had to hang up on you one day because my children had put something interesting on the walls. So it's never a dull day over here.
It's a good thing there's no visual here.
No visuals. No. Use your imagination on that one.
Yeah. Now, for those who haven't heard the episode, it was episode 226 called Tone Up Your Voice. In that episode, Jill explored all things tone. She shared with us what makes our voices unique and how we can unblock our voices to improve our vocal quality. And we'll certainly put a link to that episode in the show notes. But what I found fascinating, and I think this is something we just briefly touched upon on the last episode, and you go into more depth in your article. And of course, it's fascinating to me as a speaker, a Toastmaster, but also as a host, that this premise that changes this, that flips this common idea that singing is just for performers. So I'm curious, Was there an epiphany? And what was it that actually inspired you to connect singing with public speaking?
That's a really great question. And I really am passionate about flipping ideas on their heads because singing can be way more accessible than it has been in past. The moment I figured out that speaking and singing were interconnected and that singing could help my speaking voice, I was working with a vocal coach. He'd worked with Cher and Sarah Bareilles, so I was really keen on listening to everything he said. And I was telling him about some vocal duress that I was having. He said, okay, well, your singing voice is great, but I notice when you talk to me, there's a different voice coming out of your mouth. Oh, okay. So I'm using my instrument healthy in one avenue, but not healthy in another one. And so it really blew my mind. And then I started listening to famous singers and their speaking voices and how sometimes it's very different. I always use the example of Christina Aguilera. She's got this huge power voice, singing voice, and then this tiny little speaking voice. And it just blew my mind of how much the voice is capable of, but also too, like really looking across the board and making sure those healthy habits are everywhere. So you can take them from your speaking voice into your singing voice or your singing voice into your speaking voice. So I guess I started nerding out from that moment with that vocal coach.
Going along these lines, as you're saying, it's accessible. So what you're saying is anyone can learn to speak and anyone can use singing to train their voice.
You got it. It's not just for professionals, right? My biggest passion is we don't need to leave the arts just to the professionals. So you don't have to stop painting or singing or dancing or whatever because you're not following it as a profession. That's why I'm really passionate about the singing for the speaking voice is like, we're missing a lot. If speaking is walking, singing is running. And if you run, you're working those same muscles as walking, right? You're just working them a little harder. So you get the stamina, you get the endurance. You get a lot of really great benefits that I'm sure we'll talk about later.
Is it more like it's harder to run than it is to walk. So, and it's harder to sing than it is to speak. So you're saying that if you go beyond your capabilities, it's easier to scale it back or pull it back.
That's a really good point. We often do this in singing lessons. So if you have a really hard song, we'll practice it a few keys higher so that when you perform it, it's easy. The same kind of ideology happens here is like, if you can sing something like holding long notes and using your breath in a certain way, getting high notes in there, then tone and breath control in your speaking voice feels very simple because it's not holding those big belty notes. It's just holding a sentence and finishing it out to the end of the word.
Really? So So let's get into the mechanics just a little bit, because this is really fascinating. In the article, you outlined 5 benefits and you say that it's not only for speakers, but for ordinary daily conversation. Yes. I find this absolutely fascinating. So can we run through these 5?
Okay, absolutely. Yes. So first, the daily conversation. So your voice is like your signature sound print, the equivalent of a fingerprint in the world. There's no other voice like you. I believe I went on and on about this in our other interview, but it's really true. Most of us have learned these habits from those around us growing up or from messages. I know a lot of kids get the shh, be quiet message, and it sets up a lot of interesting vocal habits in their adulthood. One of the things that happens commonly is we just don't breathe anymore. We just don't use that exhale to its full advantage. And that's what singing kind of pulls out of us. We have to commit that breath. We can't talk down here on the vocal fry. One of the things that we want to think about is we're bringing that sound print everywhere. It's not just at the podium or on stage. It's in our daily conversations. And if we want our message to land, we need to give it a sound and support to help it land with whoever we're talking with. So some of the benefits of singing that I find, and I feel like there's many, but I'm going to just whittle it down. So the breath support thing, I've said that over and over and over again. If you have to hold the long note in your singing, then when you have a long sentence to read out, you've already trained that breath. I'm going to go nerdy for a second here and go really into this one. Sure. One of the things we don't do, unless we're really reminded of it, is use the breath in our sentences in the way it was designed, from the beginning word of your sentence to the final end word of your sentence. The idea is not to stop the breath. What we do in Western culture, and I'm sure other places around, is that we just puff up little bits of air just enough to get through the sentence. So an example, most people, and I'll just generalize here, would say, "Hi, my name is Jill. My name is Jill." And it would just be very fry and very choppy. Whereas in singing, you would want to make the breath fluid like a rainbow all the way to the end. "Hi, my name is Jill. Hi, my name is Jill." You can stop it, but it sounds more musical, right? When you use that breath properly, it sounds more musical. So that's again where the singing comes into play. It's right. Like our speech is very musical if we don't use the breath, and it becomes, I can still use a lot of expression with this voice here, but I'm not using my breath. And you can kind of feel a little bit like I'm maybe holding back, as opposed to, and I'll just clear my throat for a second. It's early morning. The voice that I'm using to talk to you is not put on. This is actually how my voice is designed. I'm using my breath. The breath is hitting the roof of my mouth, and I'm really committed to every sentence until the inhale. And then I start again, and then I inhale. So it's almost like thinking about sentences and musical phrasing is a similar thing. Point number one, builds breath support. Yay. I have a little thing about sharpening articulation. Now, this is a funny one because often in singing, you have to dull the articulation a little bit and open your mouth a bit more. But here's where it actually helps your speaking voice: we're opening that mouth, giving the articulator space to articulate once we bring that to our speaking voice. So you'll often find in singing, you can't tell if someone has an accent unless they put it on their singing voice.
True.
That's because everything is so open and rounded, and we're actually shaping things quite similar. It doesn't really matter what accent we're singing in. And it sounds much the same. So everything is open. You bring that to your speaking voice, and all of a sudden we stop talking with a closed mouth like this, and we start opening it a little more. So our tongue has more room and the sound has more room to bounce around. So that would be number 2.
So when you say open, you're talking physically opening your mouth.
You got it.
Okay.
Unless we're singing country songs, we don't want to sing like this because then all the air shoots out your nose and you get a more nasal sound, but you also get a lot of mumbling in the voice. With the opening, we want to open in singing downwards. So it's almost like your jaw just drops down. I'm going to simplify. If you want a visual, I like the biting into an apple visual.
Okay.
So a medium-sized apple, not a honking huge apple, not a tiny crab apple, just a medium-sized apple. And what happens in your mouth is the jaw and the tongue drop and a little bit of lift and soft palate. It's so natural to us. So we don't want to overly lift the soft palate or really open the mouth. We don't want to force anything in singing and speaking. We don't want to force anything. We want to commit. That's very different.
In theory, it sounds easy, but in practice, it seems a little challenging. It's something because you're so used to doing things a certain way. You're so used to articulating words. You're so used to breathing a certain way.
You got it. So it does take repetition to change those habits, for sure. A lot of people get nervous about that. What do you mean we're going to change my voice? If I do all this stuff, my voice is going to change, and that's me, and that's who I am in this world. Yes, that is your voice, the sound you are making, but the way you're using your instrument may have some habits learned in childhood that aren't helpful, that maybe close your instrument down and make it extra hard for you to do it so that endurance and stamina become difficult because you're trying to, for example, work through a closed mouth or work with no breathing. That's taxing on the voice. So what we want to do with this kind of conversation is like, hey, take all the good practices from singing, bring it to your speaking voice and go, is my mouth open? Am I using my breath? Am I using the phrasing of the sentences the way it was actually designed to be used? Those are the conversations I want to start having with people. There's three more, Greg. Are you ready for this? Oh my gosh.
Sure. This is great. I'm taking notes.
And I do, when I say all this, I mean, I'm pro singing, so I'm sure people are going to hear this and go, I still don't know. So I hope by the end of the conversation, you're just a little bit more curious than you were before. That's my goal. Expanding the vocal range, obviously. Some of us don't really realize that we're speaking in a very small range. We've maybe forgotten. We actually, as humans, want to speak in a bigger range. And if you think of a question mark, this is my favorite example. When you say, how are you today? Your voice goes up a little bit, right? Or, oh, how are you? We have these voices that we do when we're excited, when we're asking questions, our tone naturally goes up, our pitch naturally goes up, pardon me. It actually moves up with our thinking. We want to build on that. It's musical to have multiple notes. We don't want to plan in our speech where we're going to hit a C sharp or anything like that. It doesn't need to be that intricate. But what we want is more range to play with just in case we want it. Right? So if there's a character voice in your speech, that might be fun to do. If there's excitement, if there's question marks that you really want to stress for in your speech, that range is going to help you do that. And what you have to do is work your breath support to support all of those notes. So then when you come to your speaking voice, sky's the limit, really. I mean, you may not use a super high C, that's like the money note in soprano world, but maybe you will. And you can, it's an option now. And you're not limited. Number four is pitch control. You want to hold notes for a long time on one pitch. You're going to have massive control in your voice. You're not going to have yodeling or cracks or flips because you don't know how to hold notes. So it really offers a really strong performance that's going to be what you want, more vocal control. And the funny thing about vocal control is we have to relinquish control to get vocal control. You push or force anything, it just doesn't work. We've all seen that pushing or forcing, that's when we get voice cracks or it sounds inauthentic, you know, over rehearsed. So we want to practice the vocal control in a way that's playful. And that's what singing will do for us. It will help us hold those long notes. Again, stamina. I hope you're connecting the dots with her. I'm sure you are, Greg. They're all working together to help us build an unblocked singing voice. That's my theory, is that your birthright is to speak with the voice you were given without any blockages, whether it's breath or a shut mouth or just coming out the nasal cavity and not using the chest tones or just really opening those voices. And then the last one I've said a million times because they all work together, building stamina and endurance. You want to be able to talk for hours and hours day after day. If you can sing for hours and hours day after day, then you can definitely talk, as long as we're bringing those good habits to the speaking voice. Don't underestimate the power of holding a good long note. That's what I always say to people. If you can do that, then you can change notes and do longer sentences. That will be simple because you've done the hard thing over here in your singing practice. And then breath control, right? You got to have that breath dialed in to hold those long notes. If you don't, you won't get them. That translates over to speaking. And I think that's it. I think those are the five things that just came to my mind. Plus, it's fun. We have to remember, I know if we come at singing lessons to better your speaking voice, it probably won't feel fun. So I would encourage people to just explore singing for singing and then playfully bring some of that into their speaking voice and see what happens, because the curiosity is what's going to make it stick.
As you were speaking, I'm making notes. I split the page in two and I have.
Oh, I love you.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Karaoke hat and podcasting/speaking hat. And I was thinking, for when I do karaoke, what I find is I have a few songs that I do okay.
Yeah.
I find that after practicing them quite a few times, I'm exhausted. I find that I'm really, really exhausted. So some of these things that you're sharing, I think, could probably work.
The idea is to have one voice across the board. I love that you made this chart. I would encourage everyone to make a chart and be like, maybe you don't know what your singing voice is like, but just write down some things about what's not working in it. So your karaoke hat and your podcast hat, if there's really good things you like about both, but they're not shared on the list, they can be shared on the lists. The high notes can come in your speaking voice if that was a thing you had, or breath support. If you have it in your singing voice, but not in your speaking voice, guess what? It's the same instrument. We just need to connect the dots.
Yeah, it's funny. I can do a 45-minute to 60-minute presentation okay, but yet a 3-minute song puts me off.
Well, and therein lies the pushing and the forcing. So where do you find the ease? Is it in your podcast voice? I imagine. So then it can definitely be in your speaking voice. And often it's just changing these thoughts. So the first thought that has to change is speaking and singing. Yep, I can have the benefits on either side. They can share these benefits. It's the same instrument. And then we go from there and say, what other thoughts are blocking? Most of the work I do is around, what are you thinking about? If those notes aren't coming out, or if you're gassing yourself, what are you thinking about? Well, often they say, I have to push these notes to get them to come out. That's incorrect. Sometimes we have to push to get over those mind blocks of I can't do it. But once we can do it a few times, then we have to back off and we have to bring the ease to the conversation. Because if we don't have the ease, we don't have the stamina and the endurance. We're pushing and forcing too hard. Same as your body. If you think about working out, if you're not kind of relaxed in it, if you're really pushing and forcing, you're going to get hurt. You just are. So it's a similar conversation with the voice.
It sounds like I have some work to do.
I hope it's a fun work that it feels fun. Good.
That's the science and the mechanics of the voice. I want to take it a step further. Now, in the article you write, when you sing, you tap into the emotional power of your voice.
Yes.
I'm curious, how does that translate to presence and authenticity in speaking?
So there's something that happens to us when we vibe with music. We just start to feel things a little differently than just speaking in the air. When we do that, when we have to hold those power notes, the big belty notes, when you have to hold that and you can do that and you start feeling the story, that's the biggest thing about singing, is you think it's about vocal performance. It's not. It's about a story. Feeling those feelings so your audience feels along with you. If you've ever watched The Voice or American Idol and you see a technically proficient, perfect singer, but they just don't do it for you, it's probably because they're not feeling behind what they're doing. It's a rehearsed, perfect performance, and give them pointers. If those people start feeling, good God, you won't be able to stop them. They'll go all the way to the top. There's that it factor, that charisma, that presence. That's where it comes from that feeling, from getting into the story. What is the message? If you are singing or speaking just from your head and not feeling in your body, we're missing a lot of the conversation, because that body language, emotion comes out in our voice naturally, and we don't have to work to sound excited in our speeches or work to sound sad. It just happens. So the singing It's an easier way to connect to story sometimes because you've got those sad chords or those happy chords behind you and you're feeling things because of that music. And it's someone else's story, so it's easier to get in there. It doesn't feel so vulnerable when it's not your own story. So it's an easy access point to presence, to expression, to feeling. A lot of people that are speakers are very, you know, they have thoughts and it's very head driven a lot of the time, but we do need to get into that body and go, why are we doing this in the first place? Like, what is the point? What is the feeling? What do I want people to feel from this? How can I bring the audience into my world and share with them what I'm feeling about this? That's the magic. We want them to come in and feel this personal feeling. And singing is such a good way to do that. No one can sing that song like you. I often encourage my students to, even though the song is an Adele song and it's about her breakup, what's it mean to you though? If you had written this song, how can you identify with these feelings? Where does it come from? What memory can you? You don't have to share it with me, I always say, but you need to figure out, who are you singing this to? What's it about? How were you feeling at that time? And then we go through, okay, let's work on the technical performance of it. And now throw all that out and just tell me a story. What's happening for you? And often the singing just gets exponentially better because they're not thinking about it. Yes, we do need the muscle memory of the technique. So same with speaking. You do need to work on, I need to be able to make sure that my breath support is consistent. So you need to spend some time and go, okay, let's actually practice bringing the breath from my rib cage up to the roof of my mouth consistently until the end of the phrase. But then you throw it all out when you get on stage and you go into the story and the message. And singing really helps you do that. It really helps you be able to access that message in your speaking voice. I feel like I went on and on, Greg. Did I answer your question? I'm so passionate.
Yeah, no, it's great. This is all of a sudden, it's starting to make a lot more sense because when we talk about a powerful speaker, we think of the emotional power of their words. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is it's not just the words, it's the voice. The singing part makes sense because whenever I hear a song, what it does is it also takes me back in time. And when it takes me back in time, I'm thinking about something that impacted me in the past. So this just makes so much sense because that's where the emotional connection comes in. I didn't get it the first time, but I got it now.
Well, and it's also really good to get out of the inner critic world because if you are in the story of the song, and I encourage all my singers, I'm like, stay in the story. I see you coming out and judging that note you just did. No, stay in the story. When you can practice, it's almost like a meditation. When you can practice coming back away from that judgment voice, oh boy, you're building that skill too. And when you come in your speaking voice and you're, you know, those thoughts where you're like, oh boy, the person in the back row looks really bored. What's your message? What's your story? Your comeback rate is so much better and your presence stays longer because you're not getting into those conversations with yourself. When we do that, we check out and we've lost the power. We've lost the charisma, the magnetism, the presence. I'm a real proponent, as you can tell.
Wow. You coach individuals. Can you think of a moment that you can think of where someone unlocked this new sense of confidence just by adding singing to their practice?
Yes. I often work with teachers because, you know, they have to use their voice so often in a day, all day long, every day. And one teacher was having a real bad time losing her voice in the school year. The singing, just really getting that endurance up for her, but also recognizing how to use her speaking voice in the way it was designed. She couldn't really get there with some of the speaking work she was trying to do. But when it came to singing those, again, I'm going to pick on those belty notes, you cannot hold your breath back or it will not come out. So she started using her breath in the way it was designed for those big notes. And then we connected that to her speaking voice. And, you know, in the moment when she actually had that big note come out, I mean, there was a flood of emotion afterwards. You're not just getting a note out. You're using your instrument to its fullest, which you probably haven't done since you were a tiny baby, if your voice is blocked. So that's really powerful emotionally. And then busting through the I can't, that's huge. The more I cans you have around your voice, the more connected and present you're going to be. If you were sitting there, you're waiting for your turn to speak, being afraid that you're going to lose your voice midway, I don't want that for anybody. We need to bust through those I can'ts or fears before we get on stage. We should just be thinking about that message if we can. Yes, we get pulled out We start thinking about our laundry or the person in the back row or whatever. I wish I would have said that this way. Come back. This is not a sole example either. I've seen people do this. What this did for her in her classroom was students started listening. They actually made comments to her about, you're different, but I like it.
Is there maybe one or two lines that you can say that she said differently?
She started using her breath. She was trying to command the attention of her classroom with a voice like this. I'm going to exaggerate. So the vocal fry, if you hear a lot of the sound in your voice, that means you're not breathing. You can hear it right now. It feels a little bit alarming.
Right.
We need vocal fry, but it feels like I'm holding something back or I'm not really here. She started using her breath. I just changed it right now. I'm not putting on a voice. This is just me using my breath up to the roof of my mouth. And already the difference between the sounds, one is more pleasing to listen to, I would say. Also too, there's vibes we get. If we're holding our voice back, whether your listeners know what you're doing or not, they feel a little on edge. They feel like something's not really working. Something's off. And it kind of triggers a little bit, not to make people freak out, but fight or flight. There's just this tiniest little bit of what's going on. And we don't even realize we're thinking it. When she had that more present voice, it's just more commanding too, because there's more breath. She could be louder so the kids could hear her from across the gym floor. Just really, truly, that's what changed. It wasn't necessarily the phrases. It was just how she was being and connecting that singing voice into her daily voice. And her voice, you know, she didn't lose her voice. She felt really good about the work she'd done.
That's amazing, especially trying to get the attention of kids.
Right? Teenagers? Oh my goodness.
So let's get into some practical application for someone listening who says, I'm not a singer. And you have this 5-minute daily routine that you go through. Can you share a little bit about that with us?
Yeah. First, before I share that, because I'm all about mindset, I would say, that's cool. You don't need to be, but there's multiple benefits for your speaking voice. So wouldn't it be good to try?
Sure.
So we would start there and just kind of really change the thought process. And I would really stress without those people, like, this is the same instrument, folks. And if you can work it a little harder, it's like workouts. When you work hard in the gym and then you do your regular life, lifting your suitcases or whatever, just feels easier. Okay. So we would shift that first. Next, we would probably do some lip trills or some humming. So lip trills are really fun. Little bubbles and just going through your range, like making smaller ones and then bigger ones. The number one thing we start with right here is there is no up and down in the voice. Even though we say high and low and moving your voice up and down, I wish we had different language. We don't. It's based on sheet music, actually seeing the pitches go up and down, but your vocal cords move front to back. And it's really, really important. So sometimes I'll get you to move your hand side to side when you do these lip trills to watch something moving side to side instead of up and down to counter. If we move the vocal mechanism up with our sound, we get the sound here, and it shuts off. It's actually preparing for a swallow if the larynx moves up with your thinking. So we want it to stay put. So Greg, let's try it. I would love for you to do some lip trill siren and just, again, nobody can see you, but I'm going to trust that you're using your hand side to side, like you're just
side to
going
side.
Like from a piano, low to high and back down, right? So. Don't worry if you can't do these. You can cheat by putting your fingers on your face. I'm so glad this happened because this is common. So I'm going to get you to do tongue trill instead. There's no out in this conversation. We always have a backup. Stick your tongue out a little bit. It's going to get messy, but yes, it does the same thing. So when we're blocking off the mouth, it creates the proper breath to voice ratio in the background. So we're not overblowing or underblowing. So it's kind of fun, right? Kids really love this stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the first one. It's just a gentle stretch, right? We're not working out just yet. This is a warm-up. So you might already have a warm-up in your toolbox and that's cool. Keep doing that, but make sure it starts gentle to more of a workout, more heavy lifting, right?
Oh, I'm warmed up. I'm actually sweating.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that into you, because if I had more room in the article, I would have said, hey, let's stretch that body. Because what have I been saying this whole time? The body, we can't have a head conversation from the throat to the top of the head and that's your voice. No, it's lungs, it's body. And that's where the feelings live. That's where the story lives. So we would do some like bend over ragdoll, arm stretches, shoulder rolls, head rolls, all that stuff. So yes, I'm glad you said that. The next one for voice would be a yawn sigh. So the yawn helps relax the throat. Oh, and also gets you to open up a bit. Can you try that for me?
Oh.
Yes. Okay. Oh. So what we want, I'm glad you did that too. What we want to make sure is that the voice is connected. So if it's, and even ending on the sound is really helpful because we want to make sure those chords are connected appropriately when we do the exercises. One more time, Greg. I know you got it in you. Good. So you're going to want to try going, have a little bit more of that in your yawn. Yes. Good stuff. Good stuff. We want that connection. Yeah. And then, I mean, you can do scales. I've got I wrote do, re, mi, fa, so. Okay, fine. You can do that. Or you can just start doing different warm-ups. A lot of people do arpeggios like mum, 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 mum. Okay. So the thinking with this one is not note, 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 note. We want that phrasing action. So really thinking of a rainbow of breath or sound until the end note. So mum, 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 mum. The last note is when I stop breathing. So we have that consistent breath to the roof of the mouth until the end. This helps for that sentence work I said earlier about, hi, my name is Jill, or hi, my name is Jill. The second one is a little bit more musical and a little bit, you know, not a little bit, using your breath better. So let's try Greg, I'm going to get you to do the mums because they're actually a little bit better. Mum, 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 mum,
mum. Mum, 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 mum.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So I always get people to record themselves and what we're listening for. Did my voice change? Did my tone change? We actually want it to be pretty neutral all the way across. Sound like Greg all the way across. Was there anywhere it didn't sound like me, right? Was there anywhere it sounded a little breathier, a little nasally, or a little tight? That's what we're listening for as singers, because that means our voice is kind of shutting down in those parts, or we're pushing too hard. So that's what I would suggest with these warm-ups too, is just give it a little recording. Don't judge it. It's probably the first time in the day you're moving your voice. So it's not going to be great. Maybe you start recording during the scales or the arpeggios, but just give it a little listen and see what happens, right? And you can do this with your speaking voice too. And you can actually use some of your speech or your presentation after your warm-up, record it and see what's going on. That's the biggest work, is having the warm-up translate into your work. And so we really want to create that muscle memory with these warm-ups.
Yeah, I've seen the warm-ups, but I thought it was just practicing the notes, but it's the breath as well. Got it.
It's everything. Okay,
perfect.
It's everything. So a lot of people will check out during their warm-ups, be like, oh my goodness, I'm going to watch my phone while I do these. I really encourage people to be so present in their body. Where did your breath, where did you go to chest breathing instead of actual full breathing? Where did you get stuck? Where did you have to push or force the notes out? We want to watch that, because anything we do in our warm-up comes with us. It's like we're asking the body, please do this and keep doing this. So we really want to be present in those warm-ups. Even if you're not singing that day and you're just speaking, don't neglect those high notes. Really stretch that voice out, because you may need them, right? Like when you're excited, oh, I'm not going crazy high. I'm just, you know, it was a little bit higher than this voice.
Got it.
And then the last piece is just sing a few lines from your favorite song. And this is where that phrasing work really works. Making sure the breath, you know, you take a good inhale to your rib cage, expand like a 360, not the chest. This creates fight or flight in the body. It's like what we do in a scary movie. We don't want that kind of breathing anywhere near our speaking voice. It just shuts things down. You can feel it in your body when you do it too. It's kind of not a pleasant feeling. So really holding that space in that rib cage. And I say that because it's hard for people to get down lower sometimes. So just really, or if you're doing nose breathing, it sounds really lovely in the microphone. But really taking that breath down and then picking a phrase like, happy birthday to you. Stop. That's it. I know, Greg, maybe you have another song in mind. So I'd love for you to, if you're keen on singing in front of your audience, I'd love to invite you to, but I want to be mindful.
I had a suspicion that you might ask me to sing. So I found a song, of course, that was in the public domain, because we of course need permission, but it's Auld Lang Syne. So hopefully focus on the clear words, steady breath. Okay. Should all acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should all acquaintance be forgot and days of Auld Lang Syne?
Props to you. You just sang in front of everybody. And that is not an easy song. I never know the words to that song. I don't know why. I know the song. I just never know the words. So well done, Greg.
I was conscientious about my breathing.
And you know what? That's also a thing too. That can actually, when we sing, we don't want to be thinking about the technique unless we've made a little exercise for ourselves. So like right. I said, taking the first line and really being mindful of your breathing. Because what happens, we overload the system. If we're trying to think of the message and the story and the words and the notes and the breath and the pitch, and you can see how overwhelming that is, right? So our body will start to shut down the sound because it's just too much stuff. What is the song about? And for me, I'm not sure. It's a New Year's Eve song. That's all I know. But okay, it's a New Year's Eve song. So even if you don't know the words, even if it's a song in another language and you're really not sure, I mean, I would encourage you to look up the words. But if you're not sure, you can still sing a song. What does it make you feel? What does it make you think about? New Year's Eve. Okay, well, possibility, magic, right? Anything can happen on New Year's. It's a celebration. So there's happiness and joy. Okay, great. So that's what we want to think about. But let's make an exercise out of this just to show me. So what I would coach you to do, Greg, is use that breath. Because you were thinking about the breath stopped working. Isn't that funny?
Gotcha.
Yeah. Your first line, I want you to take a breath and I want you to not stop the words. So I need to get some words pulled up here. Okay. We could go, should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Okay. That was an okay singing. But it felt a little choppy, right? I'm not using my breath. And maybe I'll go down a key. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Okay, so I'm putting a little style in there, but I didn't stop my breath the entire time. That's all I need to remember. I'm linking the words together. Should old acquaintance. It's almost like supercalifragilistic. If you can link those words, suddenly it's magical and sing-songy and beautiful. So I'd love for you to take that first couple lines. You can breathe in there if you want, okay. Greg, and just try to not stop the breath. That's all you're going to be thinking about. We're just not stopping the breath.
Should old acquaintance be forgotten, never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgotten, days of old lang syne?
Nice. So to me, that was a little bit more musical because everything flowed into the next word. You're probably like, what? I was thinking so hard about my breath. I don't know how that went.
I was trying to make sure I had enough breath to go through it. Yeah.
Right. And the other thing too, when you sing a cappella is you start in different keys every time. So I would encourage people to use the same key every time you're practicing. But this is where recording your voice and listening back, like, did it sound, should old acquaintance be? This is me holding my breath while I'm singing. It's amazing, but you can do it. It's absolutely possible. Holding your breath while you sing. Does it feel stressful in my chest or does it feel relaxed in my chest, right? Just blowing those lip trill bubbles. Does it feel like, or does it feel like that? Or does it feel like my chest is really heavy right now? Because there could be some micromanaging and panicking about having enough breath. We want to look at all this in singing so we can drop it and have the most free, open sound we can. And guess what? That comes in your speaking voice if you allow it. So good.
Wow.
Nice singing. Good job.
And it's early in the morning for you too.
It's early in the morning, but that's okay. We have morning warm-ups that we can do. Just double your warm-up. If you don't have a morning warm-up, do your warm-up twice through. Each exercise twice.
Yeah, exactly.
And water, lots of water.
Folks, if you found some golden nuggets and you just want to feel like you just want to go out and sing to improve your singing and, of course, your speech and perhaps your podcast voice, I encourage you to share this episode with your friends and family and fellow Toastmasters. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. And if you want to find a different way to use your voice, if you haven't already done so, please check out our interview with Karen Merritt, episode 283, Storytelling and Presentation Tips Through Audiobook Narration. Make sure that you read Jill's article, Sing It Loud, Speak It Clear, Why Singing is the Secret Weapon for Confident Communication, in the October 2025 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. And she also includes a list of the exercises that you heard here. And of course, the other thing to remember is October 18th is World Singing Day. Before we wrap up, Jill, can you let people know if they want to reach out to find out more about your upcoming book or your coaching or whatever you do?
Oh, I love that. I love talking to people that want to nerd out about voice. So you can reach me at Jill@Voxana, VOXSANA.co. It's a very interesting, Voxana.com was taken. Can you believe that? Well done, folks. So it's .co. That's my website as well.
Jill Mitchell, thank you so much for spending the time to torture me today. No, just kidding. Thank you so much for spending the time speaking with me today. It's been an honor and a pleasure, and it's been a great experience.
Oh, it's always a pleasure for me. So thank you so much, Greg. Anytime, promise.